Melbourne, this is Delta Sierra Juliet. Is there any known traffic below 5,000 feet?
No known traffic.
Seems to be a large aircraft below 5,000 feet.
What type of aircraft is it?
I cannot confirm. It's Fulbright. The aircraft has just passed over me at least 1,000 feet above. Is there any Air Force aircraft in the vicinity?
No known aircraft in the vicinity.
Seems to be playing some sort of game. He's flying over me. It's not an aircraft, it's...
Can you describe the aircraft?
I cannot identify it. It has such speed. It's just vanished.
Is the aircraft still with you?
Now approaching from the southwest. The engines are rough idling. The thing is coughing. That strange aircraft's hovering on top of me again. It's hovering and it's not an aircraft.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Road Less Travel Special Edition, even. How's everybody out there in Radio Land? This is Gary L., and Gigi's Boo is here. Hi, Gigi's Boo.
Say you, everybody. How's everybody? So glad to be back with you all.
Yeah, we're so excited to be here tonight. We have such a wonderfully special guest on. Man, I am just so geeked. I'm so geeked about this. But first of all, I want to say hello to everybody in the RLM chat room. Oh, wow. What a group. Oh, where to begin, Gigi's Boo? What do you think?
Oh, just so good to see everybody. Honestly.
Yeah.
So good to see everybody.
Okay. Yeah, you should be able to get the video, Kate. It's actually on the RLT page. The Ustream segment on the RLT page. Look for that. If you can't find it, we'll drop a link for it. Okay. Oh, thanks, Cowboy Tex. Nice to see you. I want to say hello to everyone out there. Man, can you tell them excited? What's up? Okay, we got Bethy, Cowboy Tech. That's Beth A, as they say in Canada. And Grim Near, of course. Now, Grim Near is the chief cook and bottle washer of this website. If it weren't for him, none of this would be happening. So we have to give Grim Near the kudos. Moose Girl, I don't think she's here. Haven't seen any indication of it. Kate's here. She asked a question earlier. Trust No One. Haven't seen a peep. Atomic Punk. Beetle. Chalcedony. I never did get that right. Chloe, Free and Slave, I Be Don C, two times, Java Doctor, Paul Bunyan, Rob Work, Sock Puppet, Vinny, Behind the Woodshed. Hal Anthony's here. He just had a show from 3 to 5, and if you haven't heard that show, you're just out to lunch. I mean, you're just lost. We're all lost anyway, and I'm lost even after having known Hal for how many years, Brenna? How long?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, dear.
Seven, eight years, and I'm still lost. Yeah. He still leaves me in the dust.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, we'll catch up with him. It's his show, the Behind the Woodshed, from 3 to 5 every Sunday. And Clank, don't know Clank, like to meet him. Colfax, etc. Frumpy, Gigi's Boo, of course. Hello, and Grindel. Oh, we have one of those monsters here. Jehovah, hoorah. Wanatako Kozu, which looks like an amateur radio call sign, but it probably isn't. MM Bot, Pawn Sauce, Raging Suspect Sky. Who is that guy? Tip Bob, let's find why we got a guy here by the name of Suspect Sky, Boo Boo Bear. And it's Adrian, the documentarian, a.k.a. Suspect Sky, is on the line with us. Hi, Adrian.
Hey, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here. I really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. We're the ones that were like, wow, we're so happy to have you here. I've been a follower of your work for some time, and I think you have like 40 plus documentary pieces up on your YouTube page, which we'll put the link out to as we go along here. But wow, it's so neat to have you here in that Gigi's booth.
Sure is, just astounding. We're so glad to meet you and have you with us, and we enjoy the subjects that you enjoy. And of course, Gary and I have always been on the road less traveled, and we kind of take that approach most everywhere we go.
Well, yeah, and we encourage people to do so. Of course, people do what they do, and that's okay. And we like you regardless. But we do encourage you to use a great deal of discernment, gather as much data as you can, be objectively skeptical, and come to your own conclusions.
Exactly right.
And I think that's what Adrian Suspect Sky does so well in his presentations. He gives you the information, and then you make up your mind.
Uh-huh.
And that's really great. Well, tell us, Adrian, how did you get started in this line of work?
Sure thing. I don't know how I got started in this line of work, but I do know that today I try to pull together the most compelling evidence that I can and present it kind of like primary source material. I see a lot of... I see a lot of like news commentary channels out there, Secure Team, for example. You know, I see a lot of just kind of, this is my take on footage that I've found.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I do. You know, I want to pull the primary source of information and provide that to the people.
Mm-hmm. And that's good, and that's what needs to be done. That's actually what kind of the approach that we've taken in our various shows. One thing I've noticed come up in the chat room, maybe some people are confused, thinking that this is a video presentation right now. It is not. It is not. It is an audio presentation, and I don't know if you're not hearing the show. I don't know how you'll hear this. However, if you are hearing the show and you don't know where to go, over on the right-hand side of the show page at reallibertymedia.com, you'll see a little icon that says RLM Radio. And just below that, there's a little start button. And all you have to do is hit that start button, and you'll be right with us. Notice the nail plane has not been updated. So I forgot how to do that. In fact, I didn't do it to begin with. But
people think it's a chat room.
Oh, maybe. I'm not sure what's going on. Anyhow, we're there, and I don't know how to correct it other than that. I mean, if you're not hearing it and you're not in the chat, then you're not going to get the information.
No worries.
Well, anyway, that's why we put that stuff out far, far in advance. But anyway, somebody clicked in. She says I'm breaking up a tad once in a while. Is anyone getting a breakup over there at Real Liberty Media? Is the audio okay? Or is it just a Skype thing?
It's probably a Skype thing. I'll almost bet you. We had trouble the other night with this thing, don't you remember?
I hate Skype. Yeah. I have so much trouble with it, like, all the time.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan either, but it's what we're kind of hung with, unless we go to a lot of SIP phones and all that good stuff, and I'm not set up for that. And a lot of people aren't set up for that.
Gary, does everybody know how much help you have been with my latest video? I just want to ask that.
Well, I haven't said anything about it.
No. Oh, okay, no, Gary has been a huge help. Gary has been a research consultant on The Vanishing. I actually started a new job, which has been, quite frankly, terrible. And Gary really stepped up and has really been a huge help in bringing The Vanishing, which is my newest video, and hopefully helping to bring many, 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 you know, new videos in the future.
That would be great. And I look forward to helping you out. It's sorry, I had to do some things in the background. But yeah, I look forward to helping you out as best I can. And thank you for those kind words. It's just, it's a topic. The subject matter, maybe we want to segue a little bit into the general subject matter of the documentary. I think it's very compelling, and it's something that I've had an interest in, and personally have had experiences that are, and Brenna has too, and her family, and we've all had experiences that are unusual, to say the least. And
I think a lot of people have.
Sure, and a lot of people don't talk about it, and that's one of the reasons I like to see as much participation and chat as we can get. Because you get these conversations going on, and all it takes is for, like, someone to step up and say, okay, Chloe, this is Suspect Sky, otherwise known as Adrian, who's the documentarian of the documentary that we're talking about. Okay, and I lost my track. Oh, yeah, all it takes is one person to step up and say, you know, I had an experience one time. And that may open up the door for someone else who's been afraid to do so, to speak up. And that's very important, because in many cases, and I can speak from experience, in many cases, a trauma has occurred, psychologically or otherwise, has occurred.
Exactly.
And so if you keep it bottled up inside of you, it has all kinds of negative effects. So it's good to get stuff out if it's there. If it's not there, then I'm happy for you. But how does that sound about right, Adrian?
No, that does sound about right. You know, I think a good comment to make right now is Whitley Strieber's The Communion. Mm-hmm. It's a novel that you can pick up pretty much anywhere. It was a New York Times bestseller.
Mm-hmm. I've read it.
Yeah, it's a great book. And it pretty much describes at least my experience with the visitor phenomenon, in quotation marks. I've experienced and seen things, mm-hmm. That have motivated me to create a YouTube channel, to dedicate a large portion of my life to the exploration of this phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't really understand that, you know what I mean? But a lot of people do at the same time.
Right.
And I think it's important for people that do experience the visitor phenomenon to get out there, to make videos, go onto radio casts, just to make their voice heard, because it's a real phenomenon.
Absolutely.
And you know, a lot of people will kind of hide that information inside of themselves.
Sure.
Whenever it's most beneficial to bring it out.
Absolutely.
And to, yeah, bring it into the public knowledge.
Absolutely. And a lot of people are afraid of being ostracized or criticized, looked down upon. They're afraid their employers are going to look askance at them. And there are all kinds of pressures on folks. And so it's understandable why someone would be hesitant to just come right out and talk about about
that. And Gary, you know I hate my job, so I don't care if my employer thinks negatively about it.
I think you put up with a whole lot. So, yeah. That's right. And I just received a side note that our dog, our Cocker Spaniel Atticus, has a rat cornered. He's a nutball. I don't know. Yeah, and Grimner points out in the chat room, The Communion was a good movie, too, with Christopher Walken.
Yeah, I honestly feel like the movie didn't capture the scariness of the book.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've given the book to a number of people, and they all, like, can't finish it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the movie to me was a little bit Hollywood kind of style done.
Right.
But I think that the point that the book and that Whitley Strieber, the author, makes is very important. It's kind of been the premise of kind of my work, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Right. And then in my day, if I may say that, you had people like John Mack. You had the original kneecap folks. And that was way before anyone ever considered the internet. And everything was printed material, magazines and newsletters and these sorts of things. And it was a very limited exposure to the topic. But then along came the internet, and guess what? We have our fingers on the pulse of much of the world history, and certainly anything time sensitive will travel immediately across the web. So we're getting a whole lot more information. The technology, the ability of people to take pictures and videos is much better. On the downside, the technology for faking digital video is also much better. But, you know, you take the whole totality of evidence. If you have, for example, a video shot by different people, unrelated people from different perspectives at the very same time, that gives it a great deal of credibility. And I think, and I noticed in one of the comments on the early release video is that someone actually has a separate viewing of one of the pieces that was shown in the video. Is that right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The best sightings, in my opinion, are the ones that you have a multiple sighting experience. So you have multiple angles, multiple cameras capturing this phenomenon. It helps to alleviate some of the concerns with was this faked?
Right.
Can I say something right there?
Oh, absolutely.
Fire away, boo-boo.
I've known some people who actually had the encounter, like Gilly said, you know, what we're talking about. It's not the people who have true encounters. There is, when you interview them or they talk about it, you automatically know that they are not faking. You can usually pick out the fakes real quick, but people that are really, really have had an encounter, they are reluctant to talk about it, and you can actually see fear.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to talk about it, but they just can't.
And Brenna would know. And why don't you tell Adrian about a little bit of your background? So why I said that?
Well, my background, I've had some very traumatic things to happen to me, and at the time I couldn't remember what happened. Gary picked up on it very quick, probably faster than my family did, and I knew great fear, and I would absolutely, completely lose my memory for a little while, mm-hmm. because of the atrocious things that were done to me. Now, this was not an alien abduction, but it could fall in a class of an abduction, but it was a another form, let's put it that way.
It probably could fall into a visitor experience.
Very much. You could say that these are visitors. And oh my God, it was awful. Gary and my family really stuck with me. I mean, it was to the point I didn't even recognize my husband. He looked familiar to me, but I didn't know him. I just knew he was familiar. And boy, I've really went down the road less traveled in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yes, ma'am.
I've completely gotten almost over it. I still have days, but I've really gotten over it, and I've tried to help reach out and help other people. Yeah,
right. And you also have some formal training in that regard, right?
Yes, I was. I am a psychiatric nurse. Have my BS degree and saw a lot of it, and worked with a nurse who told the story that absolutely made my hair stand on end. She was going home from work one night, and she encountered a low-flying object that was running parallel with her and followed her up what we call the river bridge here, up hill. She went immediately and told her husband. She said, "I know that flying saucer or that UFO was following me." And he tried to calm her down. And so in about a week, she was outside hanging out clothes on the line. And as she looked up, she saw a UFO come up behind her barn out of her pasture, and she dropped everything and started screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And went
mm-hmm.
in the house
mm-hmm.
and locked all the doors, just like you see on the movies. I mean, you mm-hmm. know, everybody locks the doors, they can't get to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a complete nervous breakdown, and she said the people from the paranormal study in Durham,
paranormal, yeah, right.
They came down and interviewed mm-hmm. her, and they said that she was not lying.
Yeah, that's formerly the Ryan Institute.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I mean, it's here, and my grandfather saw a UFO at the same place this woman did,
mm-hmm.
and he was just an old country guy, Indian guy. He didn't care. He said, "I said, weren't you scared?" He said, "Nah." And I hate to use the words he said. He said, "Hell no, Brennan." He said, "You know me." He said, "It takes a whole lot to scare a damned old Indian." You know?
Yeah.
So, but he saw it. He saw it too.
Right.
And he said it was very odd. It was very odd too. So,
yeah.
You know.
And that reminds me a lot of my own experiences. So, you know, I'm a 30-year-old, person. And my first experience was driving with my grandmother down, you know, our local road, and we saw a silver light streaking across the sky that would have blips that would appear as it traveled across the sky, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
My second encounter was about a year later. You know, I'm still a young child at this point. We're driving to go visit some family in Ohio, and we see a series of red dancing lights that would drop up and down into the forest as we crossed, you know, the interstate. So I'm definitely familiar with the phenomenon, and it's different for every person. They manifest mm-hmm. themselves
mm-hmm.
differently for mm-hmm. every different observer. And I think that's a key point, that our audience needs to keep in mind whenever mm-hmm. hearing about these stories. You know, you hear about, I saw a flying saucer. You know, you shrug it off
mm-hmm.
as, you know, a flying saucer, but in actuality, you've seen something peculiar, and you can't really describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of like meshes into itself, this whole visitor phenomenon that a lot of people experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as we've been talking here, Hal from Behind the Woodshed put a link into the chat room and asking if we're familiar with the YouTube site Industrial Surrealism Videos.
Oh, here. Let me see if I can click it.
Won't let me click, but I'm going to copy and paste that.
And out of that window, out of KVIRC, you have to double-click the link, and it will pop.
I like that Nikola Tesla is the profile picture.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah, we've all had some experiences, I can tell you. I'll go ahead and share mine since we're on that note. And before I do that, though, I want to let everyone know, at least those who have Skype capability, you can call in if you want to. If you want to talk to Adrian, Gigi's boo, or for some reason you might want to talk to me. I'm not sure why. But you can call in on, get ready to write this down. It's a long name. Everybody's familiar with flying horse, so the first part of the name is Pegasus, P-E-G-A-S-U-S, followed immediately by S-I-X in text, or 6 written out. So Pegasus 6, and then the numbers 870. So it's Pegasus 6870 is our Skype name, and I didn't spring for the Skype call-in number because I'm not sure that Skype is going to stay with us, or maybe we'll do something differently. So we're just kind of winging it with Skype tonight. So anyway, it's Pegasus 6870. If you want to call in, share a story or ask some questions or whatever. Okay, back in 1968, I know this was back, man, we were beating on stones with chisels and hammers and all that good stuff. My friend and I were going to a high school basketball game. Okay. Now, I remember it's 1968 very clearly. It was December, actually, of 1968, because it was cold, but there was no snow on the ground. So he was driving, and I didn't have a license, so he was driving the car. Now, we're coming out of the country. Now, we were country, as they say, and in the mountains. So, over the rivers and through the dales and all that good stuff. So, we're driving along the highway. And as we start into this very gradual left-hand turn, I look up, and over top of a stand of trees is this huge thing. Now, this was like 6:30 in the evening. It wasn't totally dark, and the skies were clouded, so I had the sense of the shape of a large object over this tree line. Not very high at all. I'm talking like maybe 200 feet above the ground. And on each of the outer sides was a very bright white light. But the thing that was really the kicker was the light that appeared to be underneath it. It was a beam of sorts. I don't know how else to describe it. It had the quality of a white light, quality of a very high intensity LED that we know now.
Uh-huh.
That we didn't know then, but it was a very tight white beam that was focused onto the trees, and like it's looking down through the trees to the ground. And what the most bizarre thing was that the beam was moving, but it wasn't moving in a way that you could see it. You could not see the sweep of it move. It would just be jittery. It would be here, there, and everywhere, but you wouldn't see it move.
It was erratic.
But you didn't see the sweep, is what I'm getting at. It was just like click, click, click. It was different places. It didn't go out. It just moved, and you didn't perceive it. It was almost as if it was moving faster than your eye is capable of processing image and your brain. So anyway, So the road curves around, goes by that stand of woods, which as you're trying to look up, you know, and to your left and to see it, and you can't see it because it's too close to the ground. And we go by. Okay, it didn't seem like a big deal. Till I got to the basketball game. And I don't know what was going on. All I know is, as I remember, I arrived. I don't know what happened to my buddy. I don't even have a recollection of him at that point. But I was there. The game was underway. It had been underway. Now, bear in mind, the game starts at 7. It was about 6:30 when we left. We lived 9 miles away from the school, so you do the math. The game was underway. I had no interest in the game. I felt, I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to say upset, that's not right, agitated. Maybe that's the right word. I felt very agitated. And all I was doing was walking the hall. You know, if you remember high school where they had the big gates that they blocked off most of the school. So I would just walk the hall back and forth. That's all I have, the only recollection I have. And I have no recollection of going home after that. But it was just one of those things that never talked about. It just was never spoken of again. And then years later, this was what really tripped me off, that something happened. Years later, if you remember when Close Encounters of the First Kind, or no, whatever, Third Kind, thank you, Close Encounters of the Third Time was released to theater, I went to see that. Now, I'm not a scarified person. I think Brenna can tell you that. There aren't a whole lot of things that freak me out. But during the movie, everything's fine. And if you remember that one scene where the large UFO rises up, you know, for the when that happened in the movie, I lost my mind.
Uh-huh.
I slid out of the seat into the floor, covering my face, quivering. The people I was with, they were down there trying to console me and finally get me up out of the floor. It was at that point I knew something happened.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And Gary, I definitely think that you will experience, that a lot of people will experience those kind of triggers.
Right.
That just kind of send them into a memory recollection that they didn't even expect to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me a lot of my own personal experience, and I don't share this a lot, but I will with you because you're a trusted friend. You've really helped me out with our agenda and our program here. But when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I used to wake up and go downstairs to watch morning cartoons, and one morning when I, you know, went downstairs to watch cartoons, there was a voice that I heard, and it was kept repeating itself, and it kept saying "lonely little boy" over and over and over again.
Oh my God.
And then the voice was coming from my father's study, and I walked into my father's study, and there was red laser-like lights zipping around the ceiling of my father's study, and the voice kept saying "lonely little boy" over and over and over again. I'm in my mid-30s, and that experience from when I was 6 years old still sticks with me. And still makes me pretty sure that the visitor phenomenon is occurring. You know, I'm a successful business person. You know, I work a job every day or whatever. But, you know, whenever I think back to that, it definitely reminds me that there is more to the experience. I don't know. You know, there's just more.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. There's clearly, I mean, the history is there. I mean, the ancient history is there if one bothers to do the research. is, and you made a very interesting point, I think a very salient point, earlier when you were talking about the interpretations that different cultures will put on these events. And Carl Jung, the famous psychiatrist, kind of spoke to that when he was talking about collective consciousness and or racial consciousness, sorry, and archetypes, social and cultural archetypes, and yeah, and it's weird. And there was a book that came out years ago called "Angels and Demons," I think. Was the name of it.
And yeah, that's it.
And that writer spoke a little bit to that about how there's a cognitive process, an interpretation that we put on these events, and then that begs the question of how much. Now, obviously, there's an external stimulus. I mean, that's clear. That has to be the case. But there's some that in some manner or the other we interpret that. Those events differently, and so it's that's an area of study that's pretty fascinating to me too. So,
well, let me speak here just a minute. You know, he said he heard the lonely little boy, and it unnerved him, and you became unnerved. Other people become unnerved. It's not so much as being unnerved and being scared, is it that you know something is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You've already been there, and mm-hmm. the subconscious mm-hmm. lets you know that, just like in communion. And the book, he had all kind of experiments done on him, and it was painful.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he, in the end, felt an affinity
right.
with the people.
Right.
So I think the part of us covering our heads and being frightened comes from the old thing, the boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
What was the boogeyman?
Mm-hmm.
You remember when Nova Lee was talking about the boogeyman to us that time, my
mm-hmm.
niece.
Mm-hmm.
We fully believe that she saw something.
Sure.
The whole nine yards. I mean, there's so much that's that comes into play here. You can't lump it in, just lump it together. Everybody's
right.
a little bit different in their experience, but yet it all has a common thread
mm-hmm.
and a common core that holds us together.
Right.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And one other event that you kind of make me think of is the cultural interpretation of near-death experiences.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting that there's something happening, but it's being interpreted differently depending on your background. What do you think about that, Adrian?
I kind of want to go a little bit more into that story.
Okay.
That I just told.
Okay, go ahead. I didn't know if you did or not. That's why I went ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, this, I do suspect Sky whenever I can. So I investigate, I find footage, I edit things whenever I can. And there is no monetary value to me. I mean, this is something that I am just passionate about. And that passion comes from probably this single, well, there have been more experiences, but this singular experience with the lonely little boy.
Mm-hmm.
After the red laser-like lights were zipping around the ceiling, after the voice, lonely little boy, was heard, granted, I'm 6 years old. My mother picked me up, brought me over to our living room couch, and said, "There's no such thing as ghosts."
Mm-hmm.
And she kept saying that over and over and over again. As she was saying that, every electrical appliance in our house exploded.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And
wow. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Ever since then, I've been very adept and very interested in the UFO, the visitor, and the paranormal hypothesis.
Right.
And in a weird way, you know, I've started a new job, as you know, Gary.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's been miserable, but I'm still extremely dedicated to it. I want to bring at least awareness to the idea that there is something beyond the everyday,
right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And I think it's also important, as we were talking about earlier, to allow some of the people, or many of the people, I have a feeling, out there, allow them to feel like it's okay, that you're not by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you've had an experience that might be prosaically explained later, it still has an effect on you. And it still has that traumatic impact that you don't need that in your life. There's way too many things going on to have to deal with that kind of burden. So yeah. So if, like I say, I'm gonna use that as a segue to offering again. Anyone wants to call in on the Skype. I mean, you don't even have to give your name, you know. And if I happen to figure out who it is, I won't say who you are.
I want to bring something to him. This is just a tad off, but it still runs along what we're talking about.
Right.
I don't know how he feels about paranormal. Not paranormal, parallel universes, time travel, all this. But I'm telling you, my sister came flying in one day here, and she was telling us that she was uptown, and she was sitting there, and all of a sudden she looked up, and Main Street did not look like Main Street now. And so my mother tried to talk to her and find out exactly what she saw. And she did see it. And she was just very excited, not afraid, just absolutely ecstatic. And my mother got one of her old annuals out. And you know how they did in the 60s in high school annuals. You took out advertisements and things. And there was a picture of our Main Street with several shops that had bought ads in her annual. And my sister said, right there it is. That's what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And she told them how the people were dressed. Downtown was very busy. And downtown now is a ghost town. There's nothing there now. Just maybe a few antique shops and some loan companies. Just about like Main Street America everywhere. But anyway, so guess what we did? I told Gary, I said, I'm going down with her. Well, here we all were out where she was stopped. And we were in the middle of Main Street. And we were moving the width of a credit card. We would even put a credit card down and move it as we moved, on and on and on. We even had the police come by and ask us what was wrong. And I called Gary. Gary said, tell him you dropped something.
This is paranormal field work, you see.
So we did, and we have been up there so many times. It's unreal that it happened to her.
Sure. And I think that brings up another topic that I think Adrian showed some interest in, is this this idea of what's the right word? Jesus, boo! Portals.
Portals. Portals.
It sounded a lot to me, kind of like the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, there we go. That's a whole nother thing.
That's a whole thing. Gary and I have talked a great deal about. We even had some arguments. And I said, no, it's spelled this way, Gary. And Gary would say, no, baby, listen here.
How it's spelled.
Yeah, I mean, it's just things change. I mean,
right, and yeah, and Adrian's actually done a documentary on that for you guys.
Really?
Yes,
really?
Called The Mandela Effect, and he's done a documentary.
I have got to watch that.
See, I told you.
Yeah, you'd like it. There's a whole bunch of weird things. I mentioned in my video the concept of mass misidentified misrememberings,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the idea is that people collectively,
mm-hmm.
As a group, misremember the dates or topics or names, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that it's this strange phenomenon that like some people do remember it a different way,
right?
And it goes as far as like movie titles, mm-hmm. TV show titles. I mean, all kinds of like really interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
The Berenstain Bears just happens to be the most like kind of upfront,
yeah.
in your face kind of example of them.
Right. Yeah, it's a fascinating topic, and it's a great conversation piece for a crowd, because you can get a very animated conversation going with that. But anyway, the documentary that we should be talking about, The Vanishing, Adrian, I mean, it basically kind of starts out, I think, with reference to missing people.
We got completely off that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, I honestly don't care. I don't do anything for views or hits or anything. I mean, I just like talking to like-minded people like yourselves. So we can talk about whatever you want, to be honest.
Okay, well, good. But it talks about people missing people, and that by itself is a pretty spooky topic, because
absolutely,
yeah, because you have so many people go missing now. Most of which there's some rational explanation for. But then you have those who just flat out disappear without a trace. And they're not always grown-ups. We're talking about little kids that can just...
Or they have their clothes folded where they disappear.
Right.
I mean, it's really bizarre. Yeah.
To me, that's almost like time travel there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why, but that just stuck in my mind. Now, it could be abductions, but usually if clothes are folded or left, that's evidence of time travel, because they say that when you time travel, I'm not talking about going through a portal, I'm talking about just time travel, that you end up being naked when you do it. Do you have a theory on that, Adrian?
My opinion on those kind of abductions, particularly when things are like remaining in the space that the people were abducted, is a little bit darker, I suppose.
Okay.
I find that there is a lot of evidence that people are experiencing the visitor phenomenon.
Yes.
And I find that the clandestine nature,
mm-hmm.
of the visitor phenomenon is a little bit shady, you know, for lack of a better word.
Right.
It's a little bit... Anything that is clandestine to me,
mm-hmm.
Is worthy of suspicion.
Sure.
And I find that the visitor hypothesis pops its head up in a number of ways, whether it's vanishings, whether it's ghost stories, whether it's abduction recollections. I think that the visitor hypothesis pops its head up in a number of modern ways, and to tie it all together is this kind of clandestine, whatever agenda it is.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say.
I know exactly what you're saying. And I think what you're getting at probably took a major leap forward during the Roswell, or right after the Roswell event. Would you say that's true?
Can you repeat that?
This whole, as you point out, agenda took a major leap forward after the event at Roswell.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah, I mean, that was the number one most media attention event, but it's been around for ages and it continues today.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I think we have, my personal opinion, for what it's worth, is I think we have governmental involvement at the very highest level that's beyond any type of oversight, and certainly any kind of discovery. So, this for what it's worth, I think that became as a result of what happened in Roswell. I know a lot of people think I sound crazy. This is not a George Norrie show. We're not on coast to coast, but we sound like it. But anyway, that's my personal view. That there was, I mean, there's always been a knowledge of a different, an alternative history. Let's put it that way. There's always been that knowledge, and it's always been kind of a hush hush, keep it quiet for a lot of reasons.
Oh, and totally agree. I mean, we look at our candidates today, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I mean, really, these are our candidates?
Right.
Like, and there is a secret history behind our political elite. And,
oh yeah.
And I think to dismiss the recent history of abduction phenomenon, of Roswell. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are real historical events that occurred.
Sure.
And to think that people in power don't know about it would be a little bit naive.
Yeah, it would. and whether we like them or not, these guys at the very tip top are extremely smart. They're very intelligent. And as Hal likes to say, they know us better than we know ourselves. So don't for a minute think that what you're seeing is some Keystone Cop rendition of, like, this whole election thing, as you brought up. I laugh because for a couple of
weeks, it's a disaster.
It is?
It's my Rise of the New World Order series,
right,
coming to fruition. Right. I mean, it's just corporate candidates,
right,
that control, you know, they work with banks and whatnot. I mean it's a disaster for our concept of modern democracy,
right? And to me, all you can do is laugh. You really, I mean, that's it.
There's nothing else you can do except maybe pick up a gun.
We don't want to talk about that.
it's a mess.
It is a mess.
American democracy has been a joke for quite some time.
Yeah, yeah, that's another story in itself too. But
absolutely,
yeah,
yes,
it's just crazy stuff. And you know, I swore I wasn't going to do it, but I tell you what, I got to talk about Bill Clinton now. You know, Bill and Hillary, they've been around for a while, and Hillary, she's just a mess. I don't know what we could do with her. Monica tried to straighten her out, but she couldn't.
Don't go there. Don't go there.
Okay. But anyway, that's my political comment. Okay, we're 53 minutes in. We got 6 minutes and 10 seconds left to roll. That appeal out there, if anyone wants to call in on Skype, Pegasus 6, and the number is 870. All crunch.
Oh, Gary,
yo.
It might be worth mentioning this article that I sent you the other day.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about that for the next five minutes.
This is pretty cool. So Ben and I over at Suspicious Observers, we picked up an article done by a bunch of Canadian physicists that discussed how they're receiving a number of really unusual light signals from a number of solar systems.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. Okay, there are 234 stars between the F2 and K1 spectral range, which basically means it's around the G-type star, like our own sun.
Right.
So there are 234 solar systems that are similar to our solar system that we are picking up laser signals. So it's pretty exciting. Ben and I both agree that this is the best evidence of extraterrestrial life ever picked up. And we're actually going to be featuring it at the April Observing the Frontier conference.
Yeah, if you want to give Ben a plug on that, please feel free to do so.
Yeah, I tried texting him. He's got two kids, I guess, on the way.
Yeah.
He's kind of a little bit difficult here. But I'm looking through the article, and it's just fascinating that if you can imagine, it would be as if the Earth sent a laser signal to the moon. And then an outside solar system saw that.
Right.
So that's what the data kind of looks like right now. Ben and I are super excited about it.
Well, here's what it implied to me, or what I inferred from it. We're looking at what appears to be a common technology, right?
Great point. Yeah, great point.
And so that if that's the case, Occam's razor would drive me to say that it is evidence of a colonial presence.
It's funny you say Occam's razor because my email is Occam's taser.
Yeah.
and I totally agree with you that sometimes that principle is applied in a way that it shouldn't be.
You know what I mean?
Like, the simplest answer is true, sure, but like you said, maybe there are other civilizations, and maybe the simplest answer for this bizarre laser phenomenon that we're experiencing might be a little bit beyond what those in the mainstream are using Occam's razor.
Sure.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what would make more sense if you had a colonial presence in over a large area of a galaxy? What would make more sense than having a common infrastructure for communications? I mean, I know I'm anthropomorphizing that a bit, but nonetheless, it's logical. I mean, you wouldn't have all these separate instances just coincidentally create the very same technology. That doesn't make any sense to me. So it makes me think that these are all the same people talking to one another.
No, yeah, that's a great point. And I have to just bring up too before you have to go offline is the fast radio burst.
Yes.
Phenomenon.
Yes.
I mean, we're living in a time where there's fast radio burst phenomenon going on, and now we have this kind of laser light, you know, kind of spectrum communication going on. It's pretty amazing.
It's
an interesting time to be following this topic.
Sure is. And how about you, Juju Boo? I hear you yawning. What are you doing? What going to sleep?
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
So Atticus killed a rat. Got a minute.
He had one hemmed up, and Melly killed it.
Oh, you know he ain't gonna kill. He's scared of rats.
Oh, he's strutting like Bob Seger.
Yeah, right. He let Melly kill it, then he takes the credit.
Yeah.
What do you know about that? Well, you know, wow, we got about 50 seconds left. 45, actually. Anyway, thanks, Adrian. Dang.
Thank you so much. I so enjoyed this.
We
want to have you back on again.
Absolutely.
I'd love to be here. Gary, thank you so much. Brenna, you've been a pleasure. Gary's been a huge help to our project, and it's been a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and it's been great having you, man. And don't forget, folks, we're going to run the documentary right afterwards. It's on our Ustream. account that's right on the Road Less Travel show page at reallibertymedia.com. So if you want to watch the documentary, you can do it right here. So anyway, thanks so much, and thanks to Adrian, thanks to Brenna, thanks to all the chatters out there. We hope to be back, and we look forward to seeing you again on the Road Less Travel. Bye-bye.